It's Hair Talk on 89.3 KPECC as we pay tribute to our wonderful Southern California bookstores who already were dealing with an extraordinarily difficult competitive climate because of online book sales, most notably through Amazon, but had found a way through their niche or hand selling of books, relationships built over many years with customers to survive and in some cases even thrive despite that competition. But that was all pre-pandemic. Now we're so pleased to have with us the CEO of Roman's Bookstore in Pasadena and Book Soup in West Hollywood, the co-owner of Esawan Books in Leimert Park, the co-owner of The Last Bookstore in downtown Los Angeles, and the co-owner of the Ripped Bodice Bookstore in Culver City. I'm going to begin with Roman's and Book Soup's Julia Kalashaw. Thank you, Julia, so much for joining with us. We appreciate it. First of all, let's talk about your employees because they're coming to work every day at some degree of risk and interacting with customers and the like. How has the pandemic affected your relationship with those who work for you?
No, it's good to be here. Thank you. I think it's been a challenge. We have a core group of really dedicated employees, and they have stuck with us. Of course, we've done everything we can to protect everybody with plexiglass shields, and we've been really consistent about enforcing masks and everything with our customers. So I think from a customer level, it's been a pretty good experience, generally speaking.
Yeah, I would expect the types of folks that you get coming into Roman's are going to be pretty respectful and do their best to protect other customers and the employees of the store. So you haven't had too many instances of people flouting, masking, and things like that?
We do have some, but the vast majority of people have been compliant and supportive of the efforts.
Just a few weeks ago, you went public with the financial stress that your bookstores were under, asking customers to come shop for holiday gifts and books and to buy books online at the Roman's website. What kind of a response have you seen? And did that initial surge, has that continued?
We were overwhelmed with the community response, and I think we've been pretty transparent that it really literally has overwhelmed us to a large degree. And so consequently, our sales were a tiny bit up for September compared to last September, and then October they were up, and November up. We have seen for December a decline. I think we asked people to shop early, and a lot of them have. And then also with the further restrictions on occupancy, I think that's impacted some of our sales ability.
Yeah. Have you typically had lines out in front, people waiting to get in under the reduced occupancy rules?
Yes. When we could be at 25%, we usually had lines just on the weekends. But now that we've been rolled back to 20%, we have a line every day. It moves fairly quickly, but I think some people do see the line and are intimidated by it.
Sure, understandably. So financially, where are you at now?
So the jury's still out. We, like I said, the last few months were very successful after we did the outreach, but it has not compensated for the months that we had to be closed or were operating at loss. So we're hopeful that everyone will still continue to shop with us after the holidays, because we'll still need them then.
Sure, absolutely, until there's wide vaccination. We're talking with Julia Kalashaw, joining us, CEO of Roman's Bookstore and Book Soup on the Sunset Strip. Also with us, co-owner of Esawan Books in Leimert Park, James Fugit. James, good to have you with us again. Thank you so much. How are things going at Esawan?
Thanks for having me, Larry. Things are going well. I agree with a lot of what I heard Julia say, that especially like the lines. We've been having lines, I think, daily because we cut back before the state said to go to 20%. We were about at 20% because our store is smaller and we just felt like we couldn't have 8 or 10 people in the store at a time. So we're down to 4 people. But, you know, people come in and they're mindful that there are other people in line and you know, they shop fast. But, I know, too, that it's not the same December as it is, and it's not going to be that way, I think.
And do you sell a significant portion of overall sales? Does that come from online, or is yours overwhelmingly from the brick-and-mortar store?
We are doing more online. You know, it's been that way since the pandemic started, and I think in the beginning of June, even before we had the big surge in early June, the LA Times had done an article about local bookstores, and that really helped with online orders. And so a lot of people are ordering online. And then with our we have reduced hours and, as I say, definitely reduced capacity. We're doing far more sales online than we are in store.
That LA Times piece, a terrific look at local bookstores, and so good to see. And we thought, well, it's time that we also did the same to highlight what all of you are doing to try and survive economically during this difficult time. James, I was wondering, after the killing of George Floyd and the protests that followed, has the expanding increase in social justice movements, has that helped to fuel sales at all?
It was incredible in June and July. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for the American Booksellers Association, I don't know what we would have done. We were so overwhelmed with orders, and, you know, they developed a way of us processing in bulk a lot of those online orders, and that really helped. But it's back to maybe not quite, it's maybe a little bit more than it was, say, in April and in May. But it's definitely not like it was in June and July. And, you know, we're back where every day, whatever comes in that day, usually we process everything that same day. But those events from, you know, early June, George Floyd, the video of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, and especially the one in Central Park, I think they were profound events in the nation and especially with our store.
We're talking with James Fugit, the co-owner of Leimert Park's Essawan Books. We're talking with the owners or co-owners of 4 different bookstores here in Southern California, each with its own story to tell about how it's kept its relationships with its customers going, what ways it's had to adapt to economically survive during the pandemic, and what things it's learning in an effort to be resilient. James, I was also wondering about, you know, events are such a big part of your store. You have so many great authors that are in and a loyal following of people who would come out. You obviously can't do that now. Have you tried doing that with video conferencing at all, or are you just putting off those kinds of events for now?
You know, we have partnered with the California African American Museum. We have partnered with Writer's Block, and done some events, but we just have not hosted one ourselves. Of course, the one that we were really looking forward was President Obama. He's been to the store twice, in the past. So we thought we'd have a good shot of getting him again. But yeah, that's really been something that has affected us in a big way.
James Fugit joining us from Essawan. Duncan on the Air Talk page wants to call out a bookstore in Tustin in Orange County. Sam and Mike Robertson own Arvita Book Company. The couple opened their bookstore just right at the height of the pandemic, October 1st. The store sells used and new books, gifts, and locally made arts and crafts. Duncan, thank you for sharing that. I'd like to hear from you what you're doing to help support your local bookstores very briefly, because our time's limited. But we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. The Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Coming up, we'll talk with the co-owner of the Ripped Bodice Bookstore in Culver City and the co-owner of the Last Bookstore in downtown Los Angeles. And we'll take your calls at 866-893-5722. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the treasures of our local bookstores here that are just hanging on during this difficult time of the pandemic. We, of course, encourage you to support them because for the people that have these stores, they're not just businesses. Obviously, they have to be profitable to continue to operate. But beyond that, it's personal commitment. You live a business like that. There's not much demarcation between one's personal life and being the owner or co-owner of one of these stores. With us, Josh Spencer, who co-owns the Last Bookstore in downtown Los Angeles. Josh, thank you for being with us. And please elaborate on the ways that your store is attempting to adapt to survive this time.
Oh, thanks for having me. We've just been soldiering on. I suppose we've had somewhat of an advantage in that we're a very large store, so we have a lot of capacity to spare. So in spite of the restrictions, we've still been able to have people in without anybody getting close to anybody else. And we also have the advantage of being a used and new bookstore, so we've had a lot of loyal customers donate a lot of books to us when they maybe couldn't shop as much as they'd like. They could at least trade in some of their books and help us get new inventory that way. And that's been really helpful for us to stay afloat, just to have an influx constantly of new books coming in without us having to spend additional cash, which we're very short on.
I think of stores that offer used books, though, as being places where people hang out even longer and are looking for that hidden gem or something they may not even know existed. And is that difficult because of the capacity limitations on your store, that it's more difficult for people to hang out for, an hour to go through stacks of used books?
Right. It hasn't been for us just because we are 22,000 square feet. So we can still have 100 people in the store and everybody's got 200 square feet to themselves. So it hasn't been a problem at all. There hasn't been any crowding. We've only had to have lines, I think, a couple of times on weekends outside. But for the most part, it's been very quiet, and especially weekdays. You can almost have a whole floor to yourself. So people have been able to hang out still and browse, and there hasn't been any issues with that.
Financially, how are you doing?
Well, sales are still down like 50% from last year, so it's tough. But we're getting through. We have a lot of loyal customers, and we scaled back our staff, so our overhead is quite a bit lower. But we still need people to be shopping. It was kind of heartbreaking with the recent lockdowns because we were looking forward to the holiday season so much, because that's normally a real deal breaker for us each year as far as profit. So people have continued to shop online and our web store and through our eBay auctions and our collectibles on Instagram and things like that. But, it's just hit or miss each day. We're like, well, what are we going to be able to pay for today?
Josh Spencer, the co-owner of the Last Bookstore, downtown L.A. Also with us, the co-owner of the Ripped Bodice Bookstore in Culver City, Leah Koch. Leah, thank you for being with us. Your store specializes in romance novels, so you've got a definite genre and, I'm sure, a very loyal audience looking for new works or perhaps even writers they weren't familiar with. Have you been able to keep that sort of close relationship with your customers during the pandemic?
Hi, Larry. Great to talk to you again. I see our genre specificness as a real benefit. We're one of only two romance bookstores in the entire country. The other one's outside of Chicago. So we really benefit from the support of a lot of people who aren't local, who love romance and want to see romance bookstores succeed. So make it a point to order from us, even though they live in New York or Kansas or Alaska. And we've really, we've always had a pretty engaged online presence, but that's only increased since the beginning of the pandemic. So we have been doing a lot of virtual events. And while that's not, you know, obviously the same atmosphere as an in-person event, one benefit of that is that people who don't live here are then able to attend those, which is really, I think, a fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You've broadened your world that way, which is great. I can't tell you how happy I am that your store has thrived and survived after you joined us. Just after opening, you're just a fresh store when you started, and such a great idea. And it's wonderful to see how you've been able to carry it out over these years since. Let me squeeze a call in here from Dell in Burbank. Dell, you're the owner of Dark Delicacies, is that right?
Yes, we've just celebrated our 26th anniversary.
Congratulations. That's terrific. In Burbank, and horror genre, mystery, am I correct in labeling
it
such?
Entirely horror, and I think we're the only bookstore that is, but we're books and gifts, and I have to credit a lot of the longevity to having gifts like horror jigsaw puzzles or little girls' dresses with spooky prints or something to go along with it to help fill that that space that just being a straight genre bookstore would be.
And have you seen more of your customers move to online purchases?
Yes, our online is way up, and we keep trying to add to the shopping cart and stuff. But we've gotten around, signings were a big, big thing for us, and we've gotten around that by using our social media to say a particular author or filmmaker is coming in to sign. Then they come in on a day we're closed, and afterwards we announce that the books are available or ship out the orders or put them in will call.
All right. Dell, thanks. Very good. I'm glad to hear how you've adjusted with the pandemic and the Dark Delicacies continues to operate heading toward three decades. That's wonderful. Dell in Burbank. Julia Kalashaw of Romans and Book Soup. Just quick question, because Dell was talking about all this other merchandise that's keeping them afloat. What percentage of Roman sales comes from non-books?
Historically for us, it's been about 40% of our sales were for non-book. Interestingly enough, what we've seen during the pandemic is a big surge in book sales in the book category itself, partly from a lot of the current events that have happened, but also I think people are just really interested in escaping. Whether it's, you know, even into nonfiction.
A lot more time to read for many people as well. Cami in Pasadena says, I'm a member of the Pasadena Rotary Club. We have a program called Shop with a Cop, where we allocate money, have a child from the Boys and Girls Club go to Target with a police officer, pick up toys. But this year we changed from Target. We're doing it through Romans to assist Romans during the pandemic. Cami, thank you for that. And Caitlin in Pasadena says, two of my families doing a book exchange through the mail. We live in Pasadena. Our rule is we only go through Romans. That's how we like to show our support. Caitlin, thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. A quick final question for you, Leah Koch of The Ripped Bodice. With all these new customers, as you reach out with online and video and the like, you think you'll have a chance to keep them post-pandemic?
Oh, well, we certainly hope so. And, you know, that's the goal. And that's, you know, why we really continue every day to try to think of new ideas and, you know, new revenue streams. We recently launched a romance subscription box called Read Romance Repeats. So you'll get romance mail to you every month. And we're just constantly trying to innovate and think of new ways to retain these customers.
We wish you all the best. That's Leah Koch of The Ripped Bodice in Culver City, James Fugit of Esawan in Leimert Park, Josh Spencer, The Last Bookstore, downtown L.A., Julie Kalashaw of Romans and Book Soup. We wish you all the very best business success and survival for the rest of 2020 and into the new year. Have a great afternoon.